You are listening to Backstage Pass Podcast, hosted by Hannah Chidwell and brought to you by Tommen. The Backstage Pass Podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I will be talking to Julia Nunes about being an artist and how she's navigated through a decade of releasing music online. Hello, Julia Nunes.
Hello, Hannah Chidwell. Did I say it good?
That's it. Yes, you said it so good. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Yeah, to give a quick introduction to everyone on this podcast, you are an American singer-songwriter. That is a very, very brief introduction though. So Julia Nunes, who are you? Tell us. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, let's see. Well, I think it's fun now that like everyone is internet famous. I like to say I was one of the first.
You were. I remember watching one of your videos. I feel like it was 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, it probably was.
You were playing acoustic guitar, but it was one of the first videos I ever saw on YouTube.
Yeah, when I first started posting videos on YouTube, there were only a few of us. That sounds crazy to say now, but there were like anyone who had gotten any amount of like praise. We all knew each other.
And I see that you've done loads of touring but would you still say you're like an online musician, if that's a thing?
I'm an online musician. I like it. I've gone through so many phases in front of the internet, so it's really hard to classify me. I like to think of myself as like this solo entity that makes music and puts it on the internet, and because people like it, I get to make a living.
But that's the truth as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, things like Kickstarter and Patreon mean that I don't have to, like, I never signed a record deal. I never had to do, like, crazy ads or commercials for anything. It's like a small business, and the thing I make is music.
Which is amazing. I've seen that you've got a really close community of fans, and you did an amazing Kickstarter project, and now on Patreon. How are you finding that whole process of having a kind of core fan group that you share exclusive content with?
I love it. I love them. I feel like the conversations are almost reminiscent of how we were talking about, like, YouTube used to be small. It's like I actually feel like I can talk with this group of people about what I made. Like, I just redid a song from back then. The song that I put out on August 1st, just earlier this month, was a remake of a song called August that I wrote when I was 16. I'm 31 now.
Wow.
Yeah. And there are people.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It sounds like completely different and the same. And like everyone who's been with me for a decade is like, you're completely different and the same. And yeah, we just got to like talk about it in the comment section. Like the way the internet always felt the best to me was when we would just like chat and like be passionate about things and not be afraid of like criticism or whatever. And it was a weird switch to go to like have it be like, oh, you need to like pay this certain amount to like be in this club or whatever.
Yeah.
But it really, like, when I accepted that, it was so much easier to talk to people because like the internet just gets so loud and so intense and
crazy.
I'm a sensitive little artist and I'm like putting out these songs. Like, I think people forget that artists are like sensitive.
It's hard as well. You know, people have sent messages to me before being like, and I feel bad, you know, if someone's commented something and you haven't responded, but it's impossible. You would never be able to create art anymore You would not have enough time in the day to create music if you responded to everyone who commented on the stuff that's publicly available. And then it doesn't then negate the actual social part of social media. It's an endless cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think that that's why you have to actually enjoy social media. Like, I do enjoy it. And then, like, nothing kills art faster than, like, guilt or obligation. So,
yeah,
I think I'm actually doing the best at it I've ever done. Like, I'm putting out a song a month. And aside from that, I stay a little quiet. And it's allowed me to have, like, it's crazy to think, like, after 10 years, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the time that I really have figured it out. But it's true. I didn't have it figured out until recently. But one of the things that I think I've figured out is that I need to work with people. I need to work with, like, close friends. So I have a bandmate named Chase Burnett, and he's an amazing musician. He puts out his own music. And I work with him. There's no way I would be able to do it without him. Like, there's places that I would get stuck and feel the, like, oh, I've been working on this for so long and I don't know if I like it, that I've always experienced. But now I can be like, well, here's what I've got. Here's the parts that I do like. And I send it off to Chase Burnett. He does some magic. Like, his skill set is so complementary to mine. So it's like more work, but more fun to work with people.
Originally, I introduced you as a singer-songwriter, but would you call yourself that? Or do you produce your own music as well?
Yeah, Chase and I co-produce it. I would say he does the heavy lifting. Cool. Like
right.
Something I've never been good at is beats. And he just, like, the beat, like, makes it for me. So I say he does, like, 75% of the producing. But, yeah, I have an opinion. I send the chords over.
Yeah, yeah.
I do a little top line, do-do-do-do.
So I recently had your manager, Emily White, on as a guest on this podcast. She's obviously written a book about how to have a sustainable career in music. She must be a great person to have on your team.
Yeah, she really sorted my stuff out. Can I swear?
Yeah, great. Feel free.
She sorted my shit out. It was it was kind of a mess when she came along, and I remember being, like, very overwhelmed by the process of it. And she was like, oh, well, it's very plainly laid out in my book. And I was like,
right.
Oh, she's got it down to, like, a really exact, like, thing. And she keeps it up to date too. Like, I don't think a lot of people have factored in the new paradigm of, like, Patreon, Kickstarter, even, like, TikTok, Instagram. Like, there's a lot to catch up to.
Do you feel a pressure to be across the board, like, on it all the time?
I used to, and I now, like, just more highly prioritize, like, enjoying it. Because if I don't enjoy it, then even any work ethic that I, like, get, like, force myself to do will die, and then I'll let people down. So... something, like, sustainable, enjoyable, that actually, like, is what I say it's going to be. And I never like fall off because I'm just, like, dead and tired.
It's hard, isn't it, when you don't have inspiration and you're just, if you feel like you need to, or like you say, if you're obliged to write something and then you don't write something that you like, and then the guilt creeps in, and then but do you have things that trigger off your inspiration? Do you have things that you can ever go to and think, I know that doing this or being there is gonna...
I definitely know that boredom gets me.
Yes.
I've seen a few talks on this. We're so entertained by our phones, and there's so much that takes the thinking, the job of, like, thinking for you, and then you don't create in your mind. But if I take away all of my entertainment, I have more, like my brain does more thinking. And then I think that with artists, you just naturally create if you're given the space to. Like, it's pretty immediate. I would say that there are 2 hours where, if I take everything away from myself, there are 2 hours where I'm like, oh, when I get my phone back, I'm going to like order this thing that I've been meaning to order. I'll text my mom this thing I've been meaning to say. And like, I like mourn the loss of my phone. So I like keep a little list of like, when I get my phone back, I'm going to do these things. And then after 2 hours, I'm like, my brain is so rich with ideas.
Yeah. Do you have a pen and paper to hand when that happens?
Gotta have some
yeah,
pen to paper. Yeah. Or I sometimes can trust myself to turn off the Wi-Fi on my computer and like wipe my desktop and like even hide the icons for the internet. Like just hide everything and only have the music recording software, the video recording software. Like sometimes I can trust myself because typing is so much faster. Like, and
yeah,
making the idea is so much more satisfying than thinking about the idea and planning out the idea. Like just make it. but it all depends absolutely. On if you can trust yourself to not like go do the entertaining thing.
Do you use Logic or Ableton or?
Yes.
Yeah, Logic.
I use Logic and Final Cut Pro, and I found this editing software on an app on my phone called Leap Video that filters, like, it does the colors the way that I want the colors to be. Like, I could never color correct on Final Cut, but yeah, Leap Video, it's a video editing app that... it has like filters that feel like they just make it feel nice. Like I notice how much like higher quality my videos look when the color is nice.
Nice.
And since I'm putting out a video every month, like this year, it'll be my 9th song this year on September 1st. And
that's great.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. And I've just gotten better and better. Like, I need to like the video, right? So, like, at some point I realized, like, I need to find something that does what VSCO does for pictures because I love Instagram. I love social media, I have to say.
Yeah. What is your track of the week this week?
My track of the week. Can I open Spotify? Remy Wolf. Monte Carlo.
And
it might be a toss up between, they're both Remy Wolf. There's Monte Carlo and then there's Woo.
Okay. I need to check this out.
Such fun music. Like she's having fun. And I keep watching videos of hers. She's like gone fully quarantine, like all right, here's what I can do in quarantine. All of her music videos are her surrounded by 3D images of herself. So it's like weird little claymation.
Wow.
Remy Wolf's dancing awkwardly the way you can program a computer to dance. I love Remy Wolf. I'm obsessed.
What is the best lesson that you've learned in your career so far?
You just have to be in the driver's seat of your career. You know better than anyone what your actual job and vision is.
Yeah.
So never assume that someone else knows better than you.
Solid answer. Excellent. Love that. Well, thanks so much for speaking to me. It's been awesome to meet you like this. Hopefully we'll meet someday in the future, and I hope you have a great week.
I hope you have an excellent week. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.